The Synod for Africa has entered its third and final week of deliberations here in the Vatican. One of the bishops attending the Synod has proposed that he and his North African fellow bishops participate at next year's Synod for the Church in the Middle East. Bishop Maroun Laham of Tunis, Tunisia, made the suggestion at the start of this month's Synod because he said relations between Muslims and Christians in North Africa are different from those in the rest of Africa. Bishop Laham would find himself at home in a synod for the Middle East. He was a priest in the Holy Land for many years before being assigned to the Diocese of Tunis in 2005. Well, I met up with him in the synod hall to find out more about his proposal. Let's listen. You were born in Jordan and spent many years in the Holy Land, in Jerusalem. So you have a unique perspective as a Middle Eastern Christian living in North Africa. You have proposed that North African bishops be included in the 2010 Synod for the Middle East. Why is that?
Yeah, the first reason is that we have many points in common with the churches of the Middle East, especially in terms of Christian minorities living there and in terms of dialogue with Islam. I noticed that in Europe and now also in Africa, we notice a fear from Islam. I think that the experience of the churches of the Middle East and that of the churches of the North of Africa living with Islam for centuries can give some light and some new point of view about how to relate with Islam.
Now, from the point of view as a Middle Eastern Christian living in North Africa, I mean, do you see differences between the relationship between Christians and Muslims in the Middle East and North Africa?
There is one main difference, is that in the Middle East, Christian minorities are local Christians. They are Jordanians, Palestinians, Lebanese, Iraqis, and Egyptians. While in North Africa, Christian minorities are foreigners. Nevertheless, I see that there is a certain acceptance in the churches of North Africa of Christian minorities, although they are foreigners. But the main difference is that the churches in North Africa are not locals.
Mm. So how can you have a dialogue between Christians who are not locals and the local Muslim population?
First of all, it's a dialogue of life. In many sectors of the life and work and families, in social life, Christians and Muslims mixed together. As for the churches in North Africa, we have many chances where we mix with Muslims and we live with Muslims. We have, for instance, our Catholic schools. We have 10 Catholic schools with 6,000 students. All of them are Muslims. So this is a unique chance to get in contact with Muslims. Dialogue in the countries of North Africa, except some exceptions, Algeria, for instance, dialogue is easy because Islam in North Africa is a moderate one. And Christians are so few that they represent no threat for the Islam or for the presence. And by the end, we Christians living in North Africa, we know that there are certain lines we can't cross, and we do not. So we do not represent any danger for the social or political stability in these places.
Yet one of the countries in North Africa, which I would imagine would be part of this initiative of yours, involvement in the Middle Eastern Synod, would be Egypt, where there is a large Christian community to a certain extent, the Copt community, which is one of the most ancient Christian communities in the Middle East. Yet there is, there have been growing problems between the Copts and the local Muslim, more fundamentalist elements in the society. I mean, how does that play into all of this?
I should ask this to a Coptic bishop. But as far as I know that Egypt is easily becoming radicalist in its Muslim positions. It's not mainly directed against Christians, but I think it's also directed against the political system. But Christian Copts also have some negative results of this Islam emerging in Egypt. Add to this that I think the majority of Coptic Christians in Egypt live in the south, where there is a big poverty. So they have problems dealing with Muslims, they had problems getting work, getting jobs, and many of them convert to Islam, not out of love for Islam, but to be able to find a job or to have a position. And now some of them who after want to return to Christianity find many difficulties to do this because the Sharia forbids this. So this is one of the problems of the Coptic Church in Egypt. But Coptic Bishop will talk better than I do.
One of the big problems facing the church in the Middle East is the growing number of Christians who leave the Middle East for various reasons, for the violence, for economic reasons, for jobs, for school, etc. Do you see that sort of phenomenon happening in the North African countries?
First of all, there are not various reasons for the immigration of Christians of the Middle East. The main reason is political. The main reason is the conflict which perdures since one century now. So once the political conflict between Israelis and Palestinians is solved, I think a big percentage of this problem of immigration will be solved. Now, we don't have this problem at all in North Africa yet, first of all, because we don't have native Christians. And our Christians in North Africa are foreigners who by vocation go and come. We change 25% of our faithful every year. Students, business people, diplomats, families, etc. So we don't have this. We have this at the level of the country itself. Most of young people, but they are all Muslims. They dream of going to Europe for a better life. But that is not the same problem that the one of the Christians of the Middle East.
Is there an association, particularly in the North African countries, of Christianity being associated with the Western colonial powers?
No, I think this is a problem now of the past. Most of North African countries are independent since half a century now. Yes, especially in Algeria, where colonialism was very strong, there is some. But in Tunisia, I don't find it, neither in Morocco. On the contrary, 90% of young people of Tunisia and Morocco, and even of Algeria, dream of having a visa for France or for Italy.
Christianity is so vibrant on the African continent, so much so that European churches are looking to Africa for priestly vocations today. Is Christianity making any headway in Northern Africa?
Headway, that means having converts. Tunisia and Algeria allow conversion. The problems are not political, are not constitutional. Problems are social and familiar. So the constitution of Algeria and of Tunisia allow a Muslim to convert if he likes. But there is such resistance from the part of the society and from the part of the family, which makes the thing a bit difficult. Nevertheless, there are some conversions, but we are very far off having a Tunisian or an Algerian local church. I think that for decades, unless there is a miracle, that for decades the churches of North Africa will be mainly foreigners.
And finally, what do you see as your particular contribution to the Middle Eastern Synod, representing the church in Tunisia and amongst your bishop brethren from North Africa?
Two things I think we may give. One is our special type of dialogue with Islam. I lived in the Middle East, and my dialogue with Islam was always centered on Palestinian Muslims or Jordanian Muslims. Now my dialogue with Islam in North of Africa is a bit different. I'm Arab like them, but I'm not Tunisian. So I'm not a part of the social milieu of Tunisia. And there is it's a interesting difference to be brought to the Middle East. And the second one is perhaps a bit egoistic, not having local Christians in North Africa, we depend for the clergy and the sisters on Black Africa, and we depend also on the Middle East. So we will tell our brothers in the Middle East that the future of our churches depend in a certain way of their charity in sending us priests and religious people.
Bishop Maroun Laham of Tunis, Tunisia. The president of Nigeria's Bishops' Conference, Archbishop Felix Adeosin Job of Ibadan, says the Catholic Church is very active in interfaith dialogue in his country and that a special government-sponsored interfaith commission has been set up specifically for the purpose.
The Christians and the Muslims are co-chairmen of the interreligious dialogues. It happens that on the national level, presently, it is a Catholic archbishop, the Archbishop of Abuja,
John Onayekan.
So we meet not only to discuss social matters, but also to discuss religious matters.
Bishop Robert Patrick Ellison of Banjul, Gambia, tells us he has found day-to-day relations most effective in advancing understanding between faith communities in this majority Muslim nation.
The way we are going about it now is perhaps in trying to create trust at a personal level. The idea of sitting down around a table to talk about issues is not the right way to begin. We are at the moment coming together, let's say, on occasions of the great Muslim feasts, the end of Ramadan and the Tobaski, the Feast of the Slaughter, on the occasion of the pilgrimage in Mecca. The bishop or the priests or some others will go to the imams on that day and share their joy and whatnot. And vice versa, at Christmas and Easter, they will come to us. I mean, I have got twice now a nice leg of mutton from the imam on the occasion of this, the Feast of the Slaughter, Tobaski it's called in the Gambia. So that's the level at which the relationship and the trust and the understanding against which we can begin to work on the tricky issues that come up in terms of marriage between Christians and Muslims, other areas of life where Catholics sometimes feel a little bit oppressed because there's Muslim mosques shouting us down and... But that's the way we are going about it at the moment. As I say, sitting down at a table to discuss whether God is one or God is three, and the whole question of Jesus as Son of God, those issues are important, but they are not really the heart of the matter.
Bishop Robert Patrick Ellison of Banjul, Gambia.